Okay, so the subject for the meeting tonight is, can I be sure I am going to heaven? Can I be sure I am going to heaven? And to answer that, I just want to start by reading a few verses with you from the book of Matthew in the New Testament of the Bible, Matthew in chapter 7. So if you want to, if you have a Bible, you can read along in Matthew chapter 7. Don't worry if you don't have a Bible. I'll read the verses out. So we're looking at Matthew chapter 7. And we're just going to read some words that the Lord Jesus spoke. And we're going to start in verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. And the Lord Jesus said these words, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth or does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name have cast out devils, and in your name have done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity," or "you that sin," you that do things that are wrong. And so that's our reading for this evening, and we trust that God will bless his word to us as we think about it today. I have a concern this afternoon, and that concern is this, that there are people in this world today who believe that when they die, they are going to go to heaven. My concern is that there are many people in the world today that perhaps believe that, but that isn't the case. They believe that they're okay in the sight of God, and they believe that they're fine and they're going to go to heaven, but that is not the reality of their situation. And what I want to do today is to, by looking at the Word of God, by looking at verses from the Bible, is to see how we can be certain where we're going after we die, how we can be sure that we're going to heaven. Because I'm glad to tell you this afternoon that you can be sure today that you are, that you can go to heaven. You can be sure of those things. So I just want to think about that this afternoon. You know, sometimes when people pass away, when people die, people will say, well, they've gone to a better place. And sometimes at a funeral, the vicar or whoever is taking the funeral might say, well, this person is in heaven now. But there's really no certainty. There's really no firm foundation of knowing why they're there. And so this afternoon, I want to think about what the Bible says so that we can know and be sure of these things. You know, this afternoon, each one of us can be saved. Each one of us can be saved. We can know what it is to have eternal life. We can know what it is to have forgiveness of sins and peace with God. We can know for certain that we're going to heaven, that we're on our way to heaven. And so I want to make these things very clear to you this afternoon. So, first of all, I want to think about the fact that what we have in the Bible is very clear. There's nothing vague about the message of the gospel. And then secondly, I want to think a bit more about those verses that we've read and think about how it is that a person can be certain. So let's just think about the first point there. There's nothing vague about the message of the Bible. There's nothing vague about the gospel message. It's difficult, isn't it, sometimes when you get instruction and someone tells you to do something, but it's quite vague. It's not clear what you're supposed to do. For my job, I work as a graphic designer. So people will come to me and they'll ask me to design them, say a poster or a brochure or a website or that kind of thing. And they'll give me a kind of idea of what they want me to do. They'll maybe talk to me over the phone or send me an email and they'll say, can you do this for us? And it's interesting. Sometimes the instruction is very clear. And I like that. I like it when the instruction's clear because it means I can just get on and do the job and I know what the person wants and I can just do that for them. And I can be certain that that'll be okay because they've given me a very clear brief of what I need to do. But you know, sometimes at work, people come to me and they give me a very sort of hazy, vague idea of what they want me to do. And in those moments, I think, well, I'm not entirely sure. So what do I do? Well, I kind of do what I think is best, what I think is right, and then I present it before the person and I just hope that it's okay. I just hope that what I've done is enough and it's what they wanted. But I don't really have that certainty. I'm not totally sure if it's what they want. You know, that is sometimes how it is with people when they think about heaven. There are people in this room today and they know they're going to heaven because they know the message of the Bible. They know the truth of it. And because they're clear on what the Bible says, they're clear in their response and they know what they need to do. And tonight, I'm certain, I am sure I'm going to heaven. But you know, there's other people, perhaps in this room tonight, certainly in the world today, and they're not sure. They kind of don't really understand what it takes for someone to get to heaven. They don't really know what they've got to do. They don't really know why they wouldn't go to heaven. And so they just do their best and hope that things will work out in the end, just like I would do at work if I wasn't entirely sure on the brief. And so I'm pleased this afternoon that what we have in the Bible is clear instruction. It's not fuzzy, vague instruction that we just have to kind of try and work out for ourselves and think, well, I'll try this and hopefully everything will work out okay. What the Bible says to us is very clear. And I want to think about some of those things with you today. There's a verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, and it's Paul, and he's writing, and he says this. He says to this man, Timothy, he says, "From a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures." That's to say, you have known the Bible. And it's able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So what Paul is saying is this. This Bible, this book that is in front of you tonight, this is able to make you wise to salvation. This book is able to give you the information you need to know what you need to do in order to be saved and to know that you're going to heaven. That's what Paul was saying to Timothy. And so it's the Bible that we're going to kind of get our thoughts from tonight, get our understanding from. So here's three things that the Bible is very clear upon when it comes to us and it comes to salvation. The first one is this. The Bible is very clear on the fact that we are all sinners. We are all sinners and we've all done wrong. Listen to these words that are written in the Bible in Romans and chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. It says this, it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that does good. No, not one." And what Paul is doing there, he's telling us that in the sight of God, there is no one who is just good in the sight of God as they are. There is no one that is just right. There is no one that is just on their way to heaven the way that they are. It tells us that we're all sinners, that we all do things that are wrong. Now, I wonder if you agree with that statement. Do you believe that that is true? You know, sometimes I have conversations with people and they say, well, what about if a person, if there was a person and they did a lot of good things and they're very charitable and they did this thing and that thing? And I kind of think, well, why are we making up a person here? Let's just look at ourselves. If I look at myself and think about my own life, I know that the Bible is right about me. I know I'm not right in the sight of God. I know that I've done things that are wrong. I know that I am inclined to be in disobedience to the word of God. I know that God has created me in his image for a purpose and for a reason, and I fall short and I miss the mark. I know that for myself. You know, we don't have to try and imagine, well, what if a person was like this? So just look at yourself this afternoon. Think about yourself. How do you stack up to this standard that God gives? The Bible says that we're all sinners. There's none that does good in the sight of God. No, not one. Now, we're talking about clear language. We talked about vague language that is hard to interpret. And then we talked about clear language. This would fall into the category of clear language. None righteous. All gone out of the way. We're left under no doubt as to where we fit in the sight of God. There's none righteous. We can include ourselves in these statements that we're not righteous and none of us do good. No, not one. What does this matter tonight? As we think about the subject of, am I going to heaven? Can I be sure I'm going to heaven? There's another verse in the Bible that says, "Don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" That is to say, don't you know that those that are unrighteous in God's sight will not have access to heaven? This is why this matters to us today. We're sinners, and that determines where we'll spend eternity. That determines what will happen to us after we leave this world, after we die. The Bible says that those that are unrighteous will not go to heaven. And so this is important for us today. But then Paul goes on in that chapter later on, and he says, and such were some of you. He's writing to a church of people, and he says, that was the case with some of you, as he lists different sins. They were all sinners. And he says, you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. That means this, that in order for someone to be sure they're going to heaven, there has to be something that takes place in that person's life that changes them. There is not one of us in this room today who is just naturally, by our nature and who we are, that is just on the way to heaven with no change required in our lives. You know, a lot of the religions in this world would believe that there is something that needs to be done in order for us to be right with God. And maybe they would say that we need to behave in a certain way, we need to adopt a certain set of rules, a certain set of standards, and so on. But they would acknowledge that there is something that needs to be done to make us right in the sight of God. Well, the Bible is different to other religions, but it is true that there is a change that needs to take place in our lives that we might go to heaven. Not one of us in this room this afternoon is good enough for God and good enough for heaven just the way we are. There's something that needs to take place that will change us and make us fit and suited for heaven. I want to make that very clear today, because, you know, there's people in this world and they think they're just fine the way they are. They don't need any change. They're just fine in the sight of God. But really, when we come to and we think about how God sees us, we then understand that we do need to change, that we do need to be made different. We need to be made righteous in the sight of God. So that's the first fact, the first clear instruction that we have from the Bible. Each one of us here today are sinners by our very nature. We can't even help it. We just do things that are wrong. I mean, sometimes, you know, we have a choice in what we do, but our nature is that we don't understand God. We don't seek after him. We don't do things that are right. Second fact, we read about these things in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 3 to 5. I'll just read those verses. Paul says to this church, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, that is Peter, another name for Peter the disciple, then of the 12. Our second fact is this. We've thought about how we're sinners, how that makes us not fit for heaven. So the problem in our lives is sin. That is the one hindrance between us and heaven, the problem of sin. And then we've just read these words. Christ died for our sins. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day, and he was seen of Peter then of the 12. You know, Christianity isn't based on just kind of vague thoughts and ideas and philosophies and nice morals and things like that. The gospel message is based on facts, things that happened. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done already. This afternoon, I'm not going to tell you that you need to improve yourself to be fit for heaven. I'm not going to tell you that you need to become a better person, that you need to subscribe to some kind of religious practice in order to be saved. I'm telling you this afternoon that Christ died for your sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again. The problem of sin is not something that you can overcome in your own strength. The problem of sin is greater than you. It's something that you can't tackle. It's something you can't manage. It's something you can't deal with. Just look around you in the world today. How many thousands of years of human history has there been? And yet look at the state of the world that we're in. It's not getting better, really, is it? I mean, there are certain things that have doubtlessly improved over the years, our technologies, the way we communicate and so on. But really, the problem of sin, the big problem, the deep problem of the human heart has not been solved by man. But God tells us that his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, died upon the cross and he was buried, and that he rose again that we might be saved from our sin. Paul says again in that book, he says, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. To Paul, that was, you know, Paul was a man who was saved. He went from being someone who was murdering Christians and putting them in prison to someone who was going around telling people about the Lord Jesus and evangelizing. He had a massive change in his life when he was saved. And as he was going around to these different cities and these different places, he was saying, I don't want to tell you anything, really, other than Christ died for your sins and he rose again the third day. You know, that is what the message of the gospel hinges upon, the work of Christ upon the cross, and that he rose again the third day. And here we are, you know, about 2,000 years after Paul was preaching that message in all those different places in those days. Here we are today in Northampton in 2018. And I don't want to preach any other message to you tonight than what Paul was preaching in those cities in those days, because the message hasn't changed. The only way for a person to be right in the sight of God is through the Lord Jesus Christ, because he died for your sins. He died bearing the judgment for sin. God judged his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the cross, that you might be saved. And so that's our second fact. First of all, we're all sinners. None of us are just on the way to heaven in our own strength. We're all sinners in the sight of God. Fact two, God sent his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to save sinners, that he might be our saviour. Now let's think about the third fact here this afternoon. What does a person then have to do to know they're on the way to heaven? What does a person have to do to possess eternal life? What does a person have to do to be saved? We know that we're sinners. We know that Christ has died for our sins. But how can what Christ did upon the cross be made good to us today? How can we live in the good of that? How can we know that our sins are forgiven? Well, if we go back to those verses that we read, right at the beginning of our meeting, it says this: not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. So in order for somebody to be on their way to heaven, they need to do the will of God. That is to say, they need to do what God wants them to do. Well, what does God want us to do? Well, there's plenty of verses in the New Testament that tell us about that. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 10, it says this: if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we have this idea here that in order to be saved, you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe in him and that he died upon the cross and that he was risen again the third day. Secondly, Acts chapter 3, verse 19. This is Peter, the disciple, and he's preaching. And he says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Repent. That means to completely change your way of thinking. As we've thought already, we're naturally not inclined towards God. We don't naturally want God or desire him or seek after him or understand him. And so we need to turn from our sin and just going the way we are. We need to turn away from that, and we need to turn to Christ and to believe on him. That's what it means to repent. Repent ye therefore and be converted, be changed, that your sins may be blotted out. And thirdly, there's a verse in Acts chapter 16, or two verses, verse 30 and 31. And this is the story of a man who was a jailer, and he was looking after Paul and Silas, who were in prison. And there was an earthquake, and and all the locks were loosed, and the doors were flung open, and the people could have escaped, but Paul, he just stayed in the prison. And the jailer, he comes out and he sees Paul, and he's thinking, you know, what kind of a man is in prison and the doors are flung open and he doesn't escape? What? And he could hear Paul and Silas singing hymns and praying to God at midnight the night before, and he's thinking, what has this man got? Honestly, this man is in prison and yet he's full of joy. And here I am, I'm a jailer and I'm miserable. What has this man got and how do I get it? And he comes out and he's about to kill himself. And Paul says to him, don't do that. Don't do that. And the man says to him, what do I need to do to be saved? And Paul says to him this. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and your house. Again, this is not vague language that Paul is using. He didn't say, well, you could try and just do better in life. You could try and just, you know, those bad things that you know you have a conscience about, just try and lose those. Try and overcome your addictions in life and those struggles. No, he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And the message is the same today. You want to know how to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. He has done the work. He died for your sins. He did everything that was necessary. And all God asks you to do today is to believe on him and you shall be saved. Not you might be saved, or you could be saved if you do that and some other bits and pieces as well. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall be saved. You certainly will be. So there we have three facts where the Bible is just so crystal clear, and there's no room for having a sort of different interpretation of what these things mean. First of all, we're sinners. We're not right in the sight of God. We're not on our way to heaven as we are. Secondly, in order to deal with our sin, God's own Son, Jesus Christ, died upon the cross. And he was buried and he rose again the third day, and he's alive and he's in heaven today. Thirdly, what do we need to do in response? To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing more, nothing less. Repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Now, with the rest of the time here, I just want to think a bit more about those verses that we read at the start. Because there are people, as the Lord Jesus says, and they will say to God, you know, haven't we done this in your name? Haven't we done wonderful works? You know, why don't we have access into heaven? Did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out devils? Did we not do wonderful works? And God says to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Now, that's a pretty bad situation to be in, isn't it? To be in danger and to be oblivious to it. And so I just want to look at why would God deny access to heaven to those kinds of people? Well, let's just think about what kind of defense they're making to God. What kind of defense are they making to God? They believe that they should have access into the kingdom of heaven because of what they've done. What do they say? We've done this in your name. We've done this in your name. And we've done this in your name. And God says, I never knew you. You know, if I was to ask you tonight, are you going to heaven? And you said, yes. And then I asked you, how do you know? I wonder what you'd say. If the answer to your question starts with these words, I did, or I said, or I thought, or I do this, then that's really not the right answer to the question. If your answer to the question is, I'm going to heaven because Christ died for my sins and he's risen again and he is my saviour, that is the right answer to that question. There are people today and they believe that they're going to heaven on account of the things that they have done in their lives. But we see from the Bible this afternoon that that is not good enough. It's not good enough. There will be people and they'll claim because of what they have done for God, that's enough for them to go to heaven. The gospel turns that whole concept entirely on its head. And it says it's not about what you have done for God that will save you. It's about what God has done for you. That is the gospel. You know, we are so sinful and so lost and so helpless, there is nothing that we can do to save ourselves. Nothing that we can do. But the good news is this, that the gospel is not based upon what we are able to do for God, but what God is able to do for us. You know, there's a famous quote, isn't there? It's by the President John F. Kennedy. And in his inauguration, he said this. He said, and so my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. That's what he said. And you know, that's, as a president saying that to his people, that's a good sentiment, isn't it? We shouldn't just be consumers and just think about what we can get out of the system and what we can get for ourselves. We should be thinking about how we can contribute to our country and to help our fellow man. That's certainly true in that kind of context. But when it comes to the gospel, there's nothing that you can offer God that he doesn't have. There's nothing you can give to him that he needs, or even that he wants. The gospel is just God giving to us. It's not about you giving God your life or giving God your heart. It's about God giving us his Son to die upon the cross for us that he might take away our sin. And so today, don't ask what you can do for God. Ask what God has already done for you. He has sent his own Son to die on the cross for you. Finally, I just want to think about an example of this. And this is my last point, and then we're done. There's a man in the Bible, and I think he really dispels all the myths of working to get your place in heaven. He really blows away all those kind of things. and it was a man who was upon a cross at the same time as the Lord Jesus was crucified. When the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he was there upon a cross, and there were two other people with him, one on his right-hand side and one on his left. Now, the Lord Jesus wasn't there because he had done evil. He was there because the people hated him, and it was a gross miscarriage of justice that he was upon the cross. But the other two men that were crucified alongside him, they were thieves, they were wrongdoers, and they were suffering because what they had done warranted that form of punishment in Roman times. And as the Lord Jesus is upon the cross, the thieves next to him, they actually start mocking him, which is kind of strange. But they do that. They kind of blaspheme against him. And they're saying, oh, you know, if you're the Son of God, save yourself and save us as well. And then one of them has a change of heart. And it says in Luke 23 these words. It says that one of the malefactors, that is just a word to say, one of the wrongdoers that was, which was with him, railed on him saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, kind of told him off. He said, don't you fear God, seeing you're in the same condemnation? We are here justly. We deserve to be here. We receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man, and he's speaking about Christ, this man has done nothing wrong. He's done nothing amiss. And he said unto him, Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, truly, verily, I say unto you, today you shall be with me in paradise. So here's the Lord Jesus, and he's promising a man who is dying as a thief upon the cross that he is going to be in heaven with him this day. Now, that man can do nothing. He is hours away from dying. He can't do anything religious. He can't do anything charitable for other people. He is about to die. And yet he has promised heaven. Why? Because he's trusted in Christ. He's understood who the Lord Jesus is, that he's not just an ordinary man, but this is the Son of God. He's done nothing wrong. And he realized that this man was dying for another reason. He wasn't dying because he was a sinner. He was dying for sinners. And he just looks to him and he says, Lord, just remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the Lord Jesus promises him, today you shall be with me in paradise. Now, the man couldn't do anything. He had nothing to offer, but God saved him according to his grace. God doesn't want anything from you today. He's not asking you to do any great work. He simply presents to you the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified and says, this is all you need. Believe on him and be saved. Are you going to heaven? Are you sure that you're going to heaven? I'm sure that I'm going to heaven, not because I think I'm anything great, not because I've done anything wonderful in my life, not because I'm a good person. I'm going to heaven because Christ died for my sins, because he took away that which prohibited me from heaven. That's how I know I'm going to heaven. It's not an arrogant claim to say that I'm sure I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven because Christ died for me. I want to ask you tonight as we close, what about you? This gift of salvation that God offers is open to you today. And he simply asks you to believe on him and be saved. The Bible talks about two different paths we can take in life. If we continue in our sin, there is no heaven at the end of that journey. There is destruction. There is judgment from God against sin. There is hell. The Bible is as clear about those things as it is about heaven. There's no escaping from that, that we will receive the due reward of our deeds, to use the language of that man upon the cross, that we will get what we deserve if we continue in our sin. But just as that is true, so it is true that Christ died for us that we might be saved. And he is able to save you today. Let's close with a word of prayer and give thanks for the food. And then we'll let you know what's going on with that. Let's pray.